We hope this message from Word of Life Church and Pastor Brian Zahn is a blessing to you.
Amen. All right, what we're doing today is we're beginning a new series. And it's on story. Story is the primary way that we are formed from Scripture. The Scripture is primarily not abstract ideas, but the telling of a great story through the telling of many stories. And as these stories are told and retold and heard and reheard, they get down deep in us and they begin to form us in the way that God intends. We're going to start off with seven Sundays that are stories from the Old Testament. I'm calling this part of the series the Ancient and Mysterious Stories of God. And I think they'll have a lot of that tone, the mysterious nature of these stories of men and women who had encounters with God, close encounters of the God kind. So 7 weeks of the ancient and mysterious stories of God. And then, beginning with Lent, we step into the New Testament and we're going to look at stories that Jesus himself told. Stories that he crafted and told to help communicate what the kingdom of God was like. And I'm calling that part of our storytelling over 12 weeks, Tales of a Curious Grace. So that's what we're going to do over the next 12 weeks between now and that'll take us all the way to Palm Sunday. Today, we're beginning the first story sermon. It's entitled Three Long Walks. And it's based in the life of Abraham, who I think undoubtedly is the most important person in the Bible until you get to Jesus Christ. Think about how the Bible begins. You have two chapters that communicate to us the creation. And then you have nine chapters that I describe as the continual migration of humanity away from God. Adam and Eve, they transgress. They're banished from paradise. Cain kills his brother Abel and then goes forth to found human civilization with bloody hands. Violence continues to escalate until there is a flood of judgment, with only Noah and his household being spared. But then even following that, we arrive in the 11th chapter, 10th and 11th chapters of Genesis, where they're building the Tower of Babel in rebellion to God. So everything has been a continual migration away from God until we get to chapter 12. And in chapter 12 of Genesis, we at last meet a very important man who is going to take the story of the Bible and put it in a new direction. This man is Abraham, the walking man. A lot of Abraham's story can be told by the long walks he went on. And we're going to meet Abraham today. And what he does is he puts the story the Bible is telling in a new direction. Instead of continually migrating away from God, with Abraham, the Bible takes a turn and we find people beginning to move toward God. Amen. And so I want to read a text about Abraham, the walking man. And then I want to begin to tell three stories of three long walks that Abraham had. And I think what I'm going to do is just perch myself on that little stool there and talk to you in first person as if I were Abraham. Now, you're going to have to use your imagination. First of all, I totally believe that Abraham had a big, long white beard. Don't you believe that Abraham had a big, long? Of course he did. And I don't have one, although I have been telling Perry that when I get to be old, now I'm a long ways from being old, so, but when I get to be an old man, I'm going to have a long ZZ Top beard. I told her, and she said, I won't kiss you, but I bet she will. But I don't have my long ZZ Top beard now, so you're going to have to use your imagination. And I'm just telling the story, and as I tell certain aspects of the story that may sound a little bit, I hadn't heard that aspect of Abraham's story, I'm borrowing from the rabbinic tradition. From some of the tradition that the rabbis have passed on concerning Abraham. So I'm going to incorporate some of that into our storytelling as well. So let's get started. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went. Three long walks. First walk. Long walk from Ur. We lived in Ur. It was a wealthy city. And we were wealthy. My father, Terah, was a creator of gods. Yes, he created gods. He formed gods of wood, gods of stone, gods of metal. He made gods. And we worshiped those gods. All of us did, our family and all of the people of Ur. We worshiped the gods, many of whom my father made. It was a profitable business and we were wealthy. We had flocks and herds. We made gods that we worshiped. But I began to hear a voice. Another voice. A voice that came from elsewhere. A voice not so much heard by these ears, but heard as if it were that my heart had ears. I began to hear a voice that I began to identify as the voice of not the gods, but the voice of God. Not one that was made by my father in his shop, but this God whose voice I was beginning to hear, I believed was the creator of heaven and earth. One day the voice said to me, Abraham, leave your family, leave your country, leave the city you have lived in, and go to the land that I will show you. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. A great nation shall come forth from you. I will bless your seed, and your seed shall bless all the families of the earth. That's what the voice said. We had many gods in Ur. We had many temples to our many gods. The greatest and largest temple, though, was the temple to Nanasin, the moon god. It was 7 tapered stories of a temple, reaching up like a great steeple into the sky. And that was our greatest god, this moon god. Because you see, we believed that life goes in circles. It just goes round and around and around. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. And we worship the god of the cycle, of the circle, of the moon, of the orbit, of the rotation, of everything staying the same. But this other voice was calling me to do something new. Something that, as far as I knew, had not been done before. And that was to leave the cycle behind. And to believe that a human being could travel in a line and come to something new. When I made up my mind to leave, of course Sarah went with me. Sarah was always there. And my nephew Lot, he went with us too, and I was glad to have him with us because he was like a son to me. Since Sarah and I didn't have any children, my nephew Lot was like a son to me, and he went with us, and I was glad to have him with us. And the day came when we began our long walk from Ur. I turned my back on the gods we had known. I turned my back on the ziggurat of Nanasin, and we headed west. A long walk. You know what? We never lived in a house again. We had a very nice house in Ur. Made of stone, two stories. It was comfortable. I never lived in a house again. For the rest of our lives, we lived in tents. Because from now on, we would be a people on the move. We were looking for something new. I was looking for this new God whose voice I was beginning to hear. I wanted to find out what he was like. I was looking for a new city. Ur was a comfortable city, especially if you were wealthy like we were, but I was convinced there was something deeply wrong with it, something wrong at its foundation. And so I was looking for a city that this new God that I was beginning to discover would be the builder and the maker of. I was looking for a new way for us to live. Never lived in a house again, lived in tents. It was a long journey away from Ur, a long journey west. Finally, we arrived in the land of Canaan. This was the land that God was taking me to, the land of Canaan. The first place we settled was just near Shechem, under the oaks of Moreh. We set up our tents there. We began to live. We had flocks and herds with us. We had servants with us. Sarah and I made a home there. We began to live there. And it was under the oaks of Moreh, just outside of Shechem, that I built my first altar to this new God whose voice I was beginning to hear. It was nothing like the very sophisticated altars that I had known in Ur that were created with great craftsmanship. This was crude. This was earthy. It was just made of stones piled together. That's all it was. But I felt that this is what this God wanted. And I built an altar of stone. And then I took from my flock, I took the very finest of my sheep, the finest lambs without blemish, and I offered them as a sacrifice to this new God that I was hearing his voice. And so it was a long walk from Ur to Shechem, under the oaks of Moreh, where I set up my tents and built my altar and began to worship my God with my sacrifices. Second walk. Long walk home. After a while, we moved south. I felt like we needed to explore this land, and so we needed to keep moving. And we moved to the south for a while at Bethel, and then we just kept going, and we ended up near Hebron under the oaks of Mamre. And we set up our tents there. Began to live under the oaks of Mamre near Hebron. My nephew Lot by this time had moved elsewhere. Our God had blessed us and our flocks had multiplied, and it was difficult for us to be together. And so Lot had moved. And he had chosen to take his flocks and his tents and live in a very well-watered, lush, green place there at the southern end of the Salt Sea. It's filled with date palms, oasis, very green, flourishing. There were a couple of towns nearby, Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's where Lot lived. But some warlords from the north, way, way up north, some warlords had come. And they were attracted to the wealth, because Sodom and Gomorrah was a wealthy area. And they were attracted to the wealth of those towns. And they made a raid upon Sodom. And they took a lot of the possessions, especially the flocks. And they even took captive some of the people to either make them their slaves or take them away to their slave markets and sell them. And my nephew Lot was among them. And when the news reached me that my nephew Lot had been captured by these warlords from the north and they were taking him back to their lands, well, I just couldn't do nothing. I had to try to rescue him. And so I got all of my male servants. There were over 300 of them. And I said, we're going to go rescue Lot. And we just headed north. We traveled for 6 days. And after 6 days, we caught up with them near the city of Dan, way up in the north. And we were able to rescue Lot and his family and his possessions. I can only explain it that my God was with me. And we rescued him. And it was a joyful reunion. And of course, Lot was so grateful. And now all we had to do was to travel back home, another 6 day journey, this time headed back south. And so joyfully we started heading for home, the long walk home. We'd traveled for 5 days. We only had one more day to go. And we were coming down into the valley of Sheva, where the Kidron Creek runs. It's not so much a valley as it is a very steep ravine. And up on the west side, at the top of that ridge, there is a little town up there called Salem. I think you know it as Jerusalem. Jerusalem means, it means showing peace or teaching peace. A very mysterious man was the king of Salem. His name was Melchizedek. That name means king of righteousness. And he was the king of Salem, or you might say the prince of peace. But he was not only a king, he was also a priest. He was the priest of El Elyon, which means God Most High. We had heard about him. I'd never met him. He was a very mysterious man, this king of righteousness, prince of peace, priest of El Elyon, God Most High. And so we're walking down through that ravine of Sheva, with Salem looming up above us, when Melchizedek himself, the king, came down to meet me. I don't know how he knew I was there, but he came to meet me. He knew my name and he came to meet me. And he came bearing gifts. In one hand, he had a loaf of bread. And in the other hand, he had a flask of wine. And he came to give me bread and wine. Now, we had provisions. We had plenty. We had all we needed. We had food and drink. But it was an act of hospitality. He wanted to give me his bread and his wine. And yet somehow I sensed that it meant more than that. I didn't know what it meant, but somehow I sensed that this king of righteousness, prince of peace, priest of El Elyon, God Most High, giving me his bread and his wine, it meant something. So I ate his bread and I drank his wine. People have said that I'm a great man. I don't know. I don't feel like that. I know that people have followed in the way that I have gone. I know that. But I want to tell you something. This Melchizedek, he was a great man. Far greater than me. And I knew it. And so after I ate his bread and drank his wine, I kneeled before him and I asked for his blessing. And that priest of the Most High God, he laid his hands on me and he blessed me with these words. He said, blessed be Abram of El Elyon, God Most High. And blessed be El Elyon, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And he put his blessing on me. And then I had to do something. It was impetuous, but I knew I had to do it. I gave this Melchizedek, this priest, this king, I gave him a tenth of everything I had. Of my silver pieces, I gave him 1 out of 10. Of my gold talents, I gave him 1 out of 10. Of all of my flocks, the sheep and the goats, I gave him 1 out of 10. I gave it to him because somehow I understood that to give to this man a tenth of all I had was to give to God. I gave to the priest of God, the prince of peace, the king of righteousness. I gave him a tenth of all I had. I hear that people still do that too. And so in the valley of Sheva, on the long walk home, I met the prince of peace. He gave me bread and wine. Third walk. Long walk to Moriah. We still lived near Hebron under the oaks of Mamre. And by now something wonderful had happened. When I first heard the voice said, I will bless your seed, and your seed shall bless the nations. But you see, Sarah and I, we had no children. We'd been married when we were young, and even then, Sarah could not conceive. And now we were old, very old. Far too old to have babies. And yet the voice continued to say, your seed I will bless, and your seed will bless the nations. And so we just believed. We didn't understand how. We didn't really know when. It seemed impossible, but we still just believed what the voice said. And then it happened. Sarah got pregnant, and we had a child, a son. We named him Yitzhak. Yitzhak means laughter. There's a funny story that goes with that. I won't tell it now, but something funny happened and we all laughed about it and we ended up naming the baby Laughter. Yitzhak. And how we loved Yitzhak. Of course, all of our hopes and dreams were wrapped up in that little boy. The blessing that we would be a nation and have a great name and that our seed would bless the nations. It's all wrapped up in little laughing Yitzhak. And then one day, the voice spoke. Abraham, Abraham, take now your son, Yitzhak, whom you love. Take him to the land of Moriah, and there offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will show you. You may find this hard to understand, but I wasn't surprised. This is the way the gods are, you know. This is how the gods are. They give and they take away. You sacrifice that which is dear. All of the Canaanites with whom we'd lived for 25 years now, they all worship their gods in that way. You'd have a firstborn son. You would prepare an altar. You would slay him upon the altar. Offer him as a burnt offering to God. Why? So that the gods would give you more sons. Give him your first son so that he'll give you many sons. That's how they all worship their gods. And now the voice had said, take your son and offer him as a burnt offering. I can't say I was surprised, but I was so very sad. Yet what is one to do? This was my God. So I split the wood. Yeah, you can't have a burnt offering without the wood. I split the wood. I prepared the wood. And I loaded the wood on the donkey. And then I chose two of my servants and I said, you're going to come with us. We're going to go worship my God. No, I didn't say anything to Sarah. I couldn't. Yitzhak was about 13 now. Young and strong. I said to Yitzhak, I said, come on. We're going to go worship our God. And in the morning we set out. It's only about a day's journey from Hebron to Moriah. By the way, Moriah is right there where Salem is, Melchizedek. It's only about a day's journey. It took me 3 days. I suppose you will understand that it took 3 days because I wasn't in a hurry. Known only to me, I was on my way to sacrifice my son. No, I wasn't in a hurry. On the third day, we were, strangely enough, almost in that same place where I had met with Melchizedek and he had blessed me. And I lifted up my eyes and I looked up towards Salem. And there was a high hill. In my eyes, it was ugly. Some people say it looks like a skull. And the voice said, there. So we stopped. I told the servants to wait. I unloaded the wood off of the donkey. I said, Yitzhak, you carry this. He was young and strong. He could do it. And I had the flint for the fire and I had the knife. And the two of us started walking up the hill together. We walked in silence and then finally Yitzhak said, Father, I've got the wood. You've got the fire and the knife, but where is the lamb? Well, you see, Yitzhak had been with me many times when we had worshipped God. He had seen me choose the best from my flock, build the altar with stones, place the wood upon it, light the fire with the flint, slay the lamb with the knife, and offer it as a burnt offering to God. Yitzhak understood how we worshipped our God with the finest from our flock, and so he said, I've got the wood, you've got the flint and the knife, but where is the lamb? And I said, God will provide. Too quickly we got to the top of the hill. I built an altar like I always had of stones. And then I took the wood from Yitzhak and I laid it there on the altar. And you'll forgive me if I don't go into too much detail. Let me just say, I had to bind Isaac. And I put Yitzhak on the altar. And I raised the knife. And the voice spoke and said, Abraham, Abraham, do no harm. Do no harm to the son. I know that you love me. And I lifted up my eyes, and then I saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. More importantly, I saw something else. I saw that God does not want that kind of sacrifice. And I went, I got the ram. And I let Yitzhak go free, and I put the ram in his place upon the altar, and I offered the ram instead. And I began to see something that day. That this God that I worship does not desire sacrifice, he desires mercy. Many of the prophets that followed from my line would later say, the Lord doesn't desire sacrifice. He desires mercy. And I began to see that day. That God could be worshipped in a new way without human sacrifice. I took Yitzhak. And we went home together. And had a long, peaceful life together. In Hebron, under the yokes of Mamre. Amen. Abraham is the father of many things. He's the father of faith. He's the father of monotheism, the worship of one God. And he was a walking man. And yes, you can tell much of his story by the walks he went on. And all of those walks were walks of faith. To turn his back on Babylon and venture into the unknown, it took faith. The long walk home as he obeyed God by faith and encountered Melchizedek is a walk of faith. The long walk to Moriah and then finally the revelation that God desires a different kind of sacrifice. Oh, you see, Abraham is not only the father of faith and the father of monotheism, he is the father of the abolition of human sacrifice. You say, well, haven't people always known that? People have not always known that. The whole world thought that God had to be placated by human sacrifice. And it's Abraham that establishes a new way of worshiping God where human sacrifice will come to be seen as an unacceptable way to worship this living God. Abraham, the walking man, the father of faith, whose line we are in as we follow him by faith. Amen. I mean, he is our father. We follow in the faith that he pioneered. Today I'm going to invite you to go on a walk. And it's not a long walk distance-wise. It's from where you sit to one of these tables. It's not long in distance at all. But depending on where you are in your relationship with God, it may be, as it were, a long walk. I'm going to invite you to come to this table where you find bread and wine, the bread and the cup. What is it? Well, one thing, it's a walk away from Babylon, the world that you've grown up in, the world that you've been scripted in, the world that you've received, the world that worships false gods. Yes, we're all raised in a world that worships false gods, the false gods of money and status and decadence and violence and ego and empire. I'm going to invite you to turn your back on that and believe that there is a city whose builder and maker is God, and that to walk to this table is to begin to walk into that city. I'm going to invite you to walk to this table as if it's a long walk home, and that when you arrive at this table, you are arriving home where bread and wine have been laid out for you by this priest according to the order of Melchizedek, as it says in the book of Hebrews. This King of righteousness, this Prince of peace, this priest of the Most High God, who of course is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has prepared the bread and the wine for you to welcome you home and to forgive you and to give you new life. It's a walk where you come to the table and you realize that Jesus Christ, in giving his own body and his own blood on the cross, is the sacrifice that ends sacrifice. So I invite you to stand with me. And I'm going to pray in just a moment, and then the ushers will begin to invite you to come. But I want you to come. Even if you've never done this before, be like Abraham and say, well, I'm going to begin to go in a new way. I'm going to break the cycle that I've always been in, and I'm going to do something new today. I'm going to walk to this table where we are told that Jesus Christ offers his body as bread, his blood as wine. I'm going to eat of this bread, drink of this cup, and believe that I am encountering in a mysterious way Jesus Christ himself, and that something new is beginning in my life today. Amen. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we draw near to this.